Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 9, Text 16. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Yasmin Purudha Katayo Yanisham Patanti. Vidyadayo vibhita shaktaya anupurvyat tad brahma vishva bhavan ekam anantamadhyam anandamatram avikaram aham papadye. My dear Lord, in your impersonal manifestation of Brahman, there are always two opposing elements, knowledge and ignorance. Your multi-energies are continually manifest, but the impersonal Brahman, which is undivided, original, changeless, unlimited, and blissful, is the cause of the material manifestation. Because you are the same impersonal Brahman, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Om Jnana Timurandasya Dhananjana Shalakaya Taksurum Malatamyena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitamyena Bhutale Sayam Rupakadamayam Dadati Sapadantikam Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Shinhu Bayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Siyadvaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So greetings from Besant Falls, and right after the class, I'll catch a taxi to the train and head to New York City and stay there for the week. And then Thursday night, Friday, I'll stay in Jersey, then come back for a day, and then head to Russia on my way to Vrindavan. So Dhruva Maharaj, by his determination, now we remember that the two pastimes that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to study from Gadadhar Pandit, who is Radha Rani in Gora or Chaitanya Leela at Tota Gopinath Mandir every day, was the story of Prahlad Maharaj and Dhruva Maharaj. And he studied the story of Dhruva Maharaj because of his determination. One of the six favorable Utsayan Nistiyad Dharyat. We must have determination. Determination is based on faith. Faith is trust by experience. Some experience gives you some inspiration for some goal. And the faith is kept open by a reasonable understanding of the reality by those who have given you the process by which you have that experience. But then to succeed, there has to be determination, and Dhruva Maharaj is the example of that. Even though his determination, the cause of his determination, was not to see God to become his pure devotee, but to see God. Okay, 1 second. Okay, Hare Krishna. I'm back. Okay, it was my taxi calling, so I needed to. Okay, so we were talking about his determination. It was to get something. But somehow he's recommended that to get it, you approach God. And by the powerful process of bhakti, even with motive, he became purified. Now, he's had sakshat darshan, and when he sees God, he has the realization that his faith was wrong. His trust in where he would find his happiness was wrong. Because there's nothing greater than the transcendental pleasure of connecting with the divine. Divine is the source of pleasure. His energy is Ladini Shakti, it's pleasure. And the essence of that is love of God. So touched by God, it awakens up the real pleasure in our hearts, which is love and devotion in the most universal and expansive way, which is love of Godhead, which means love for everything, focused on the divine. And feeling that, he felt mercy. Because that experience is more than anything you could hope for. It's more than anything you can pay for. So feeling that, you feel kindness because you're given something which you didn't earn or couldn't earn, possibly. And feeling that mercy, love welled in his heart. And the main expression of love is kirtan or the expression of love. The main expression of love is kirtan. You glorify. You speak about. And now the prayers are coming from his heart. And when we hear these prayers, we get to share their heart, his heart. This is the process of kirtan, that one's heart is externalized in a vibration of which, if you hear, you feel that same love. That love comes into your heart, provided you have faith. Faith is the opening to that experience. So we talk about submissive hearing. So if you have trust that this is of value and you listen to this submissively, then and that's what the Bhagavatam is. The Bhagavatam is this rasa. It is this glorification of God in prayers, in descriptions, in mantras, that if you hear it, you feel the same thing. And therefore, your own faith increases. Therefore, faith increases by hearing. And now he's glorifying God. And he's glorifying God's impersonal manifestation. Mayat tatambi dam sarvam jagadavyakta. By my impersonal, I pervade everything. There's one absolute reality which is perceived in different ways or is revealed in different ways. There's not many ultimate realities. There's one absolute reality. And that absolute reality is manifest in various ways, just as we ourselves are manifest in different ways, according to our work, according to our relationships, according to the love that we feel. So that one absolute reality manifests in different ways. And he's Advayam Gyan, it's consciousness which is non-dual. That's also explained here. undivided. It's undivided. It's original. It's changeless, unlimited, blissful. It's pervading everything. And now he's saying to God who has appeared before him, you are the same thing. Brahmano hi pratishtaham. Krishna says in the Gita, I am the basis of the impersonal Brahman. So it's also God. It's not a personal manifestation of God. It's not the love of God's heart manifest. But nonetheless, it's God. It's his energy that pervades everything. It's the cause of everything. So in the Gita and the Bhagavatam, the goal is love of Godhead, but the foundation of that love is sambandh again, to have some metaphysical knowledge. Aham sarvasya prabhavo matasarvam pavartate iti bhutva vajanti mam buddha bhava samavata. No, buddha bhava, from the understanding comes love. Of course, without the proper understanding, there may be disrespect. If you think that we are God, there's no inspiration for love. If you think we are the enjoyer and controller, the body, there's no inspiration of love. If we think that God is material, the form of God is material, there's no inspiration of love. So actually, most of the Bhagavatam is this sambandh again. It's this metaphysical knowledge. And this is called a Siddho Pradesh. It's understanding that leads to perfection. The example is given, someone wants to search for a treasure. First, someone has to say, this is where the treasure is. That's the most important thing. Where is the treasure? Once you know where is the treasure, then it's implied that you will find a means to excavate it. And it's implied that you will enjoy the result of that. So in the same way, sambandhyan, metaphysical knowledge of God, a metaphysical understanding, that's Siddha Pradesh. It's instructions. It will lead. Once you understand that reality, and you understand clearly that reality, that there is a supreme absolute reality, which we are part of, which is superior to us, which we are therefore meant to serve, because we are part of that. Once we have a solid understanding of that, then a little instruction, and we're going to understand what is the means to attain that, and what is the result of doing so. The means to attain it is bhakti or devotion. Because God is a person, and people reveal themselves in love. You want to understand the absolute reality? You have to love the absolute reality. And the result of doing so is you will experience the absolute reality, which, like a magnet, will bring out the love of God within your heart, which is the goal of life. Prema Pumartha Mahan. There is no greater goal than that love of Godhead. So here again, it's sambandh again, this metaphysical knowledge to inspire us. And the Gita and all bhakti shastras, they make that very clear, that you understand what is God, who is God. So let's hear Prabhupada's purport, how he delineates this. He says in Brahma Samhita, it is said, yes, the unlimited impersonal Brahman is the effulgence of the transcendental body of Govinda. Yasya prabha prabhavato jagananda koti. The energy is coming from God. When you understand God, you understand his energy. You understand his energy, you may not understand God. Because the personal includes the impersonal. The impersonal doesn't include the personal. You understand the personal aspect of someone, It includes understanding his energies. You have to understand the energies, you may not understand the personal aspect. In that unlimited effulgent aura of the Supreme Personality of God, there are innumerable universes with innumerable planets of different categories. Although the Supreme Person is the original cause of all causes, his impersonal effulgence, known as Brahman, is the immediate cause of the material manifestation. What is that verse? Mayadyakshena prakriti suyata chacharachara. Mayadyakshena. By his glance, everything happens. By his determination, everything happens. That's what God means. His determination is a fact. And his determination is manifest through his energies, multifarious energies, parasya shaktai bibhidhaya suyate. His unlimited energies. And from those energies, it's there. Imagine that. Imagine if our determination was a fact. How many desires do we have in our heart that are unfulfilled? Imagine if our determination was an absolute fact. How miserable we would be, actually speaking. How miserable we'd be if those determinations were material things, which attached us to those material things, and attaching us to those material things disconnected us from the faith of the soul, which is the real happiness, which is radiating from the self in love. But God's determination, that is his natural position. And his determination is his absolute fact. Dhruva Maharaj therefore offered his respectful obeisances unto the impersonal feature of the Lord. One who realizes this impersonal feature can enjoy the unchanging Brahmananda described as spiritual bliss. So God has a pleasure potency, rasa vaisaha. The internal, the original pleasure potency is the potency of love of everything, which is love of God. God's enjoyment is love of God, which is inclusive of everything. That energy, when it comes in contact, which Shakti, I forgot, but it's three types. It's love of Godhead, Brahmananda, the pleasure of Brahman, and material pleasure. So when you realize the impersonal Brahman, it's spiritual bliss. Cannot compare to love, which is the internal potency of God, but it's spiritual bliss. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes that this impersonal feature of Brahman manifestation of the Supreme Lord is meant for persons who are essentially very advanced, but still not able to understand the personal feature or variegatedness of the spiritual world. So there's a certain advancement to know that I am not the controller. I am not the enjoyer. Yata rupam. The first part of liberation is to renounce what is false. The second part of liberation is to embrace what is true. So just the relief is such pleasure, like someone being drowned and the pleasure he gets from a gasp of air. That air is so much pleasure. So just the liberation from this material world is so much pleasure. But the person may not understand the variegatedness. Prabhupada always tells this story of people on an island. I've told this before. And the island, there's six tastes, but the people on the island only had hot, sour, salty, bitter, and pungent. Guy goes off the island and he gets a sweet. And he goes back to the island and he tries to describe what it is. But the only thing he could say is what it's not. It's not pungent, it's not sour, it's not salty, it's not how hot, not bitter. You can only say what it's not. You can only say what it's not. So it's a certain reality that it's not this. But so people can be very, very advanced and understand Brahman, but not understand the personal features of the variegatedness. Such devotees are known as Jnana Mishra Bhaktis, or devotees whose devotional service is mixed with empiric knowledge. So their understanding is analysis. It's not realization. It's a kind of realization. But it's just like seeing a person and knowing that person by analysis. And knowing the person by love is a much richer experience. Because analysis, you can understand by your own power. By love, you'll understand by the other person's power. Because love will inspire the person to give you his heart. So in Vaishnava philosophy, we believe that God has a heart. And that heart is manifest in love. That's why, that's the process of bhakti. Bhakti mama bhajanit navamanyeti kar. Only by bhakti can you understand. Krishna says, right, because you're my devotee and my friend, then you'll understand this. Pantastu koti satavatsara sampragamyo vayor atapi manaso manipungavanam. By traveling by the speed of mind for millions and millions of years, you won't understand God until God gives himself to you out of your devotion for him. Because the impersonal Brahman realization is a partial understanding of the absolute truth. Dhruva Maharaj offers his respectful obeisances. It is said that the impersonal Brahman is a distant realization of the absolute truth. Like seeing a mountain in the distance, it looks like it's one, but there's actually something more there. Although apparently Brahman seems to be devoid of energy, factually it has different energies working under the headings of knowledge and ignorance. On account of these different energies, there's continually a manifestation of vidya and avidya. Vidya and avidya are very nicely described in the Ishopanishads. It is said there that sometimes, due to avidya, a poor fund of knowledge, one accepts the absolute truth as ultimately impersonal. But in fact, the impersonal and personal realizations develop in proportion to the development of devotional service. One second. Okay, I think we're back again. The taxi driver keeps on calling me. It is said that this impersonal Brahman is the distance realization. Okay, we got that. But in fact, the impersonal and personal realizations develop in proportion to the development of devotional service. The more we develop our devotional service, the more closely we approach the absolute truth, which in the beginning, when we realize the absolute truth from a distant place, it is manifest as impersonal. Impersonal is distant. These things are more than impersonal. God is that being of which no greater can be conceived. Jadmad yasya yataha. Everything is coming from him. So he must also have that and more. I like the argument given by a Christian apologist called Alvin Plantinga, I think his name is. And I saw one video with him. And someone asked him, is God a person? His answer was so beautiful. His answer was, God is not less than a person. How can God be less than a person? It just doesn't make any sense. The opposite of poor is not no money. The opposite of poor is rich. But when a person who is a little advanced and is therefore called a Gyani advances even more, he is in the category of Gyana Mishra Bhakti, or a devotee whose love is mixed with empiric knowledge. When he is still further advanced, he can realize the absolute truth as a person with multi-energies. An advanced devotee can understand the Lord and his creative energy. As soon as one accepts the creative energy of the absolute truth, the six opulences of the Supreme Personality of God are also understood. Devotees who are still further advanced in full knowledge can understand the transcendental pastimes of the Lord. Wow. So you can understand God has opulences. He has all knowledge. He has all renunciation. He has all beauty. He has all wealth. These six opulences. God has all opulences, but more advanced. Okay, one second again. This is crazy. Okay, back. Okay, wow. So further, it's such a beautiful, simple, because further advanced, you understand his pastimes. Love means concrete expression of love. Not reasonable to think that God is less than a person and less than what a person does. But in perfection. Only on that platform can one fully enjoy transcendental bliss. If that is bliss, love. An example is given in this connection by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur of a person proceeding towards a destination. As he approaches, he sees the destination from a distant place, just as we see a city from a distant place. At that time, he simply understands that the city is situated at a distance. When he comes still nearer, however, he sees the domes and flags. But as soon as he enters the city, he sees various paths, gardens, lakes, marketplaces with shops and persons buying. He sees variety of cinema houses, and he sees dancing and jubilation. When a person actually enters the city and personally sees the activities of the city, he becomes satisfied. Okay, so we'll do one more verse, 17. Satya shishohi bhagavans tavapada padmam ashishtata nubhajata purusharta murti apyevam arya bhagavan parapatti dinam vasreva vatsakamanu graha kartarosman. My Lord, O Lord, Supreme Lord, you are the supreme personified form of all benediction. Therefore, for one who abides in your devotional service with no other desire, worshipping your lotus feet is better than becoming king and lording it over a kingdom. I'm going to read that. That's so beautiful. We should realize it. One who abides in your devotional service with no other desire, worshipping your lotus feet, is better than becoming a king and lording it over a kingdom. I remember Tamal Krishna Maharaj once said to Prabhupada, you should be the king of the world. Prabhupada said, you manage, I'll advise. Because lordship and control is not the highest thing. The heart is the highest thing. The person with a good heart is happy, not a person with good things. We see that. That's not the correlation, unless good things are part of a process of making a person peaceful to get a good heart. But we don't see that correlation. You know, and they've done happiness indexes sometimes, and sometimes places like Bangladesh come out number one. Simple living, high thinking. This is the benediction of worshiping your lotus feet. To ignorant devotees like me, you are causelessly merciful causelessly merciful maintainer, just like a cow who takes care of the newly born calf by supplying milk and giving it protection from attack. This Bhagavatam is just so beautiful. What a beautiful analogy. You see God like a cow and yourself as a calf. And that kind of shelter and nourishment, that is our faith. Faith of the calf is being there with the mother. There's protection and there's maintenance. That should be our faith. And that is actually the reality. That is where our shelter and maintenance is. The Bhagavatam has a simple message. The Bhagavatam has a beautiful message. Purport, Dhruva Maharaj was cognizant of the defective nature of his own devotional service because he wanted a kingdom. Pure devotional service is without material form and is not covered by mental speculation or fruitive activities. Anya vilashitasya, there's no other desire but God. And it's not covered by our analysis, although we can analyze things, we do analyze things. But it's not covered by that. And karma, it's not covered by karma. We do have our duties, our obligations socially. When it's not covered by those things, and we have no motive, our motive is only love. And sure, that's so beautiful. Not easy, but it's so beautiful when you see a soul who's surrendered to God. Because there's no selfishness in their heart. It's such a beautiful thing. It's such a simple understanding. Everyone should inherently understand that. That when we look for, if we think of what is advancement, when we think what is our objective or goal, how can it be anything else but pure selfless love? We inherently understand that. That we're satisfied by heart. And we see people who really have that love in their heart, they will sacrifice anything for that. This is nothing greater. That's why Lord Chaitanya would listen to the story of Prahlad Maharaj, because he exhibited his pure devotional service. His father tried to torture him to give up bhakti, but he couldn't stop him. He couldn't offer him anything better. He couldn't give him any more pain than giving it up. So he was steady. Apratiyata. Without break. That's the history in the spread of Christianity. I read a book, a sociology book, how such a small cult. One of the ways is people were touched by Jesus. And no one could make him give it up. And they were tortured and they wouldn't give it up. Because they were thinking, this relationship and what I'm getting with this relationship is so good that there's no more pain than giving it up. So people were tortured, but no. And people saw that, and they became inspired. And that's how bhakti works. Because by nature, we have such material conceptions and such material faith. And the world is so exploitive that so many of the most beautiful and powerful things, like surrender and humility, we project on them a conception of weakness. When we actually see the strength of someone who performs tapasya, austerities, divine austerities, not artificial austerities, tapo divyam yena kaputva sattvam shudyasmat brahma sokyam tvanantam. Divine, what are divine austerities? Despite the irrational impulses of the mind and senses, one continues on his devotional service. And therefore, one can perform so many austerities just naturally because of this goal and this faith and this beauty and this devotion. Pure devotional service is therefore called ahoitaki, unmotivated. Dhruva Maharaj knew he had come to worship the Lord in devotional service with a motive, to get the kingdom of his father. Such an adulterated devotee can never see the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such an adulterated devotee can never see the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face. He therefore felt very grateful for the causeless mercy of the Lord. The Lord is so merciful that he not only does he fulfill the desires of a devotee who is driven by ignorance and desires for material benefit, but he also gives such a devotee all protection, just as a cow gives milk to the newly born calf. In Bhagavad Gita, it is said that the Lord gives intelligence to the constantly engaged devotee so that he may gradually approach the Lord without difficulty. Tesham satatayuktanam bhajitam priti purvagam dadami. I give for one who's engaged in devotional service. Devotee must be very sincere in his devotional service. Then, although there may be many things wrong on the devotee's part, Krishna will guide him and gradually elevate him to the highest position of devotional service. The Lord is addressed herein by Dhruva Maharaj as Purushartha Murti, the ultimate goal of life. Generally, Purushartha is taken to mean execution of a type of religious principle or worship of God in order to get material benediction. Prayers for material benediction are intended for satisfying the senses. And when one is frustrated and cannot fully satisfy the senses, in spite of all endeavor, he desires liberation or freedom from material existence. These activities are generally called Purushartha. But actually, the ultimate goal is to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is called Panchama Purushartha, the ultimate goal of life. Lord Chaitanya therefore taught us not to ask from the Supreme Personality of Godhead any benediction such as material wealth, popularity, or a good wife. One should simply pray to the Lord to be constantly engaged in his transcendental loving service. Dhruva Maharaj, being cognizant of his desire for material benefit, wanted protection from the Lord so that he might not be misled or deviated from the path of devotional service by material desires. So I have about 5 more minutes before I got to get ready. Would anyone like to ask a question?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj. This is Gail here.
Hi, Krishna. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, really nice class. I want to understand how it is that Dhruva, but he approached Krishna for something. You know, he wanted wealth, something that was specific. So how is it that he, despite his motivation for approaching Krishna, he still nonetheless had an impersonal conception of him? You know, in other words, how can you approach energy for something?
No, he didn't have a personal conception.
No, I said impersonal.
Oh, yeah.
How can you approach energy to get something?
He didn't have an impersonal conception of God. When he was offering prayers, he was appreciating that God was also Brahman. He was worshiping Brahman, but seeing Krishna. He wasn't seeing Brahman as higher than Krishna. He was seeing it as an aspect of Krishna.
Okay, wait a minute. So you said that he was worshiping Brahman, but seeing Krishna.
No, he wasn't worshiping Brahman. He was worshiping Krishna. But he was praying. The prayers that came here, when he was praying, he saw everything in relationship to God, even God's impersonal energy. But he's not saying that that's supreme. Rather, he's saying the opposite. Because you are the same in person of Brahman, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Because you are that. He didn't say it was higher. He said that because this is also you, and it is also you. But he's basically saying, oh, that mountain which I saw as one, now I understand that, you know, it's variegated. So he understands that there's a person.
Oh, but in the beginning, therefore, he did not have that personal conception.
I'll have to look at it, but in terms of the prayers today, he did.
Because
he's not saying, my Lord, my Lord, my Lord, O Lord who has a lotus navel. He's praying. O unlimited Lord, I want to hear about your qualities and pastimes.
Okay, when his mom... When his mom first sent him to the forest, what was his conception?
It was a personal conception because Narada Muni told him. He got instructions from Narada Muni to worship a form of God and to think of his pastimes. He got that instruction from the very beginning.
Okay.
From Narada Muni.
Yeah, there was something you said. I have to listen to the recording again. All right.
Thank you. If it was today, it wasn't. Okay. Anybody like to say hello before I got a few minutes. Anybody say hello?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hi, Hare Bo. Thank you. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Tota Gopinath here.
Tota Gopinath. What a wonderful name. Hare Bo.
Hare Krishna.
Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Chaitanya Priya.
Okay, good. All the regulars. So many years, like 10 years, everybody's been listening. Anybody else?
Hi, Krishna Gumaraj. This is Kishori Radha.
And Priya.
Priya, great. Great. Okay. You're going to pick me up Thursday, right?
Yes.
Oh, that's great. Okay. Anybody else?
Hello, Maharaj. This is Sundarananda Gopal.
Hi, Bo, Sundarananda. Hare Krishna. Thank you for coming on. Good.
Thank you for doing
this. Okay. Anybody else? Great, thank you. Anybody else? Okay, we'll end for today. Haribo.